views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio, your guide to practical mindfulness and meditation. Join hosts Tim Darter and Steve Kramer and discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day. Watch yourself connecting in a whole new way and find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now here's your hosts, Tim Darter and Steve Kramer.
Hello and welcome to Spirit Fire Radio. I'm Steve Kramer.
And I'm Tim Darter.
Today, we are going to talk about the central channel. For those of you who might be new to Spirit Fire Radio, each week we take a step of Spirit Fire's practice of living awareness, our own meditation practice, and we invite a guest on the show whose life, whose passion, whose creativity holds the essence of that step. And this week, we're talking about the central channel, which is a core. This is the place we would refer to when we're talking about our innermost. Today, we were watching an interview on television, and people were talking about their sense of self, their sense of their higher being and their innermost, and they were moving their hand up and down their spine vertically. And we think of ourselves as being this sort of linear energy that moves up and down our spine. It's our connection to our highest self. It's also our connection to our chakras and our basic center, which is our groundedness, our sense of expression, who we are and how we express that divine in the world. So in this step in the practice, it's all about that inner core. So we're very excited to have a guest with us today.
Right. So Andrew Vidic is going to join us today, and he's an author, educator, and international speaker. And we're going to discuss with him his book, Love is a Secret, The Mystic Quest for Divine Love, which is celebrating its 21st anniversary with an updated edition. So welcome, Andrew, to Spirit Fire Radio.
Thank you. Pleasure to join you today.
And congratulations on a 25th anniversary of your book. That's quite some time ago. We were laughing that this is even before the internet. I mean, 25 years ago, a lot has happened since then, huh?
Yes, indeed. On the technological side, a lot has changed.
And the book is just wonderful. We had so much fun reading it and discussing it. I feel like we could have an entire radio show just talking about the words on the cover of this book. They are some really amazing and powerful words. Love is a secret, the mystic quest for divine love. So I'd really love to start today by simply asking you if you could define a mystic for us.
Okay. I think the term mystic actually is a little bit mystifying in the sense that when we think of mysticism, we think of secrets and we think of things that are unknowable and hidden and beneath the surface, etc. But really, a simple definition of a mystic is simply someone who has a direct soul-to-soul contact with that higher power we call God, we call Ram, Rahim, whatever name we want to use it, and they are communing, they are in union with, they're having direct inner experiences. And that's really the simplest, most universal definition of a mystic.
Mm. And love, I would love to read a quote from the book where you're talking about the essence of love, and I'm sure you can add something to this. I'm gonna read from Love is a Secret. Our entire spiritual journey is to learn the inescapable truth that we are love itself and must return to the source of all love. But to do so, we must be recast in the image of love. Indeed, we must become love itself. The idea of love is the universal paradigm upon which all experiences of love, whether human or divine, ultimately depend. So love, I mean, that is basically we are love. Yes, and that is the mystical quest, is to find that connection.
Yes, so I'm glad you picked that quote. It sort of kind of summarizes the whole paradigm of the journey. I guess one could say that to explain that maybe just a little bit more, flesh it out a little bit more, one could say that in our essence, we are already love, that the soul in its essence is love, that God is love, the soul is love, and the journey back or the way back is also through that same experience of love. But love is hidden in us. It is in our deepest core. It's not manifest yet. And so the process of return is a process of manifesting or reconnecting to the essential essence of love that we already are. It's not in its full manifestation. It's hidden, and it's hidden beneath and entangled in layer after layer of mind, matter, illusion, and ego. And so the spiritual quest, regardless of tradition, is to unfold that experience of love in all of our relationships. And that's essentially the journey.
Indeed.
And I know you've kind of, throughout the book, you kind of similarities of all different kinds of traditions and kind of come up with 10 distinct psychological states for finding that divine love. Can you kind of explain what those are?
Yeah, sure. So when we look at this journey, regardless of spiritual tradition, and we actually look at the experiences that the mystic has, as simply a journey or someone who is traveling through these inner stages, we see that there's a remarkable similarity of experiences that manifest in relationship to this experience of love. And so after studying many, many, many traditions and reading all of the words that I could find, all of the translations of all the mystics about their personal experience in this experience of love, certain categories, certain experiences kept coming up again and again. And I began to see that there was actually a blueprint, that blueprint was not man-made, not human-made, but it was really already imprinted in us. It is simply something that's like hardwired into the technology of the human experience. And so in going deeper and deeper, I found that we could kind of in broad brushstrokes, categorize some of the basic stages that these mystics have gone through and described. Even though they spoke at different times, different climes, different epochs, and different languages, different traditions, still the commonality of the experience was so evident in a kind of a cross-cultural study. And so that is how I came up with those states. Now, keep in mind that those states, they're not fixed, rigid boxes. They're not immutable. And they can be described differently, slightly differently in different traditions. So the goal is not to, the idea here is not to create a kind of a fixed structure, because that would be impossible with the rational mind. But the idea is to create a kind of a blueprint. So travelers, all of us who are travelers, whether we know we are travelers on this journey or not, right, will have some idea of the signposts, the general direction, so to speak, on the journey. So that was the intention, and that's still how it stands. And we can go, there are still more finer features of those states that I can articulate too.
It certainly reinforces this idea that our return to ourselves and our return to love is universal. We are universal, and love is, in essence, that universality that connects us all.
Yes, absolutely. And another way to explain these states is kind of like the maturing of a human being on a kind of emotional or mental level. We know that children go through certain developmental stages. And when they get to puberty, they go through other stages. And there's some very big general stages that the development of children go through, as well as young adults and teenagers and so on, that people are pretty much pretty clear about. And it helps parents, for example, to understand, you know, what a 2-year-old is going to be doing, and as opposed to a 10-year-old, and what are the tendencies and the needs and so on and so forth. So in the same way, when we look at these stages, it helps us as journeyers to understand what are the needs of each of these stages and how can we fulfill these needs? How can we fulfill the requirements, so to speak, of these stages so that we can continue to deepen, ripen, and mature in this journey of love?
It's all a process. It's all step by step. And we learn that in meditation, as we've got a 14-step meditation program that takes us step by step to this journey. Essentially, it's our journey to our innermost, which is what's so beautiful about this step of central channel is it is really the point where we start to get to our energetic innermost and really sense that quality of light and the potential of ourselves as a lighted being. So we're going to go to a break. And when we come back, I look forward to talking to you about that light that meditation can bring. We'll be right back after this with...
Transformation Talk Radio is dedicated to the education and awareness of Lyme disease.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lyme Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Pat, joined here by
Dr. Nusheen Darvish.
Dr. Pat Basile and Dr. Nusheen Darvish will be bringing the most innovative, groundbreaking information, research, treatment innovations, and stories from those it affects every day.
I'm so excited to be talking about this.
We have so much to share.
Dr. Darvish and I are planning to do is connect the dots.
People suffering with all sorts of chronic diseases, it's time. It is time for them to transform.
Tune into Lyme Talk Radio and help keep our mission strong.
For the loyal listeners out there that have been listening to this incredible show on Lyme disease, we are not going to let you down. We're going to come through stronger and enrich the platform for Lyme disease awareness through Lyme Talk Radio. The message will continue, the conversations will become stronger, and the healing epic.
Hi, I'm Tim Darter.
And I'm Steve Kramer.
Join us on Spirit Fire Radio. Discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day.
And watch yourself connect in a whole new way. Find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio.
Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. for your weekly guide to practical mindfulness. And to learn more, visit www.spiritfireradio.com.
Radio. Find Your Shine with Kelly is the show that celebrates what makes you, you. Join co-hosts Kelly Wadler and Dr. Pat Basile as they break down how to brilliantly fuel and move your body and love what makes you shine. Kelly is a professional arts and wellness coach dedicated to helping brilliant women find their confidence, energy, self-love, and shine. Tune in to Shine On Radio with Kelly and find your shine on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Wondering how to play the game of life and actually win? Stop wondering and start willing the game of life with the unique and incomparable Lynn Brown. As an intuitive healer and experienced business manager, Lynn can help you live your life to its full potential. To learn more about Lynn, visit ruintuit.com. That's the letter R, letter U, intuit.com.
1230 WBLQ.
Hello, welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio.
So, Andrew, one of the things too that struck me in your book was you speak sort of meditation, and I wanted to read a passage. And you know, our whole show is based on meditation, so it all made sense to us. And I wanted to kind of get your take on your view of it. And so, your book, It says, yet in the face of rampant materialism, religious intolerance, and violence on a global scale, more and more people are awakening to the importance of spiritual love. Over 40 years ago, meditation was looked down upon and even scorned. Today, we are in the midst of a global spiritual renaissance and reawakening. Hundreds of millions of people, regardless of religious background, are seeking a direct experience of this divine love through meditation and contemplation. So what is it about meditation that's important? And how does that really aid someone when they're looking for divine love?
Well, when we study the great teachers, the prophets, the sages, and the masters, we see that all of them attained realization through meditation. And whether you call it prayer with attention or you call it dhyana, whatever the name that we choose to call it in the different traditions, it boils down to an inner technology of inversion, of going inside, of shutting down the five outer senses, quieting the mind, and connecting inside to that power that is within us. So it is a universal technology. It's not something that is created by any particular tradition. And interestingly enough, what's so interesting is that if you go even predating all known religions and their scriptures about 5,000 years ago, Hindu tradition being probably the earliest, that the indigenous traditions were having similar experiences, though they didn't call them meditations, with this inner divine radiance or light. So actually what we realize is it's already hardwired into us. This inner path is there already. And while different religions have tried to claim it as their own, the reality is it's not claimed by anyone. It's within the human potential.
And it is what sets us apart, is we have this ability to self-observe, to see ourselves outside of ourselves. And through meditation, we're able to do that. We're able to learn quite a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, not only learn quite a bit, it's the essence of self-knowledge itself. And all traditions, there is not a tradition that has not made it its core central practice. We're rediscovering the essential core practice of meditation in all the traditions, as you mentioned in that quote. Mm-hmm. But it has always been there. It will continue to be there. And whenever anyone looks within, they will find the same path and same road to that knowledge of the self.
Well, and I wonder if, as we said earlier, this book is celebrating its 25th anniversary. And we always smile when we get before that sort of world web change, where it seems that we are becoming, or at least we have access to in a very digital way, being one human consciousness. We see an event happening in the world, and right away the whole world is connected to this almost instantaneously. We can tap into an energetic of how is the world feeling, how, you know, we can create a sort of an empathy very quite literally right in front of us. And so I'm wondering, what have you seen change in the last 25 years since the book was written? And I'm wondering if any of that has influenced the sort of updated or this new version of Love is a Secret.
Well, the technology, actually, when I wrote this book, which was in the mid-80s, was not, you know, there was no internet, but and there was certainly just the beginnings of the use of computers at that time. So there's a vast, huge change from the technology point of view and certainly the connectedness level. I like to talk about it that, you know, we've discovered the internet, but the inner net has always been there. And the internet is what actually connects all souls anyway. The reality is unity already exists. We've just forgotten it. We're rediscovering that unity. So just like consciousness is one, love is also one. And as we tap into that universal consciousness, we experience the oneness that comes from that unity. And so if there is one thing that I've seen change, I think it's the fact that people are now engaging in an inward process of search. Technology, in a certain way, has mirrored the connectivity that comes from that inner connection. But it's the inner connection which is unique and very different from outer connections.
Indeed, indeed. I saw you in the book almost in my mind's eye as being a little bumblebee going from flower to flower to flower as you experience and sort of you go into all of the different world religions. And so along the same vein, I'm wondering if you feel that we're any closer to a sort of a universal spirituality, if you're seeing the sort of lines that would divide or sort of separate or make each one of these different religions unique.
You know,
are becoming not only more of a global consciousness as we all move inside, but also sort of approaching a universal religion. Do you see us all becoming one spirituality, or do you see that at any time in the near future, or is that something way off? We've got a long ways to go in our sort of evolution of human consciousness. What do you think about that?
Well, that's a great and very profound insight, and I'll share my thoughts. You know, I just returned from the World Parliament of Religions, which is the largest interspiritual, interfaith gathering in the world. And the first gathering was in 1893 when Vivekananda came and introduced the West to the Eastern traditions. 100 years passed, and then in 1993 they had the centennial anniversary. And ever since 1993, they've had parliaments every 5 years. Now, here's the interesting point. This is 1993, just as the internet and everything is ramping up. What you see, the change is from everybody coming together to kind of promote their own religion and convert. Now we see in these last 20 years, people are not coming with the idea of promoting. They're coming with the stance of a student. They're coming, instead of promoting, they're coming to learn. And the learning journey, I know that we're moving away from the egoic kind of fossilized view of religion to what I would call living spirituality. And so the new words that we are describing, and I think that you are trying to point to, is what I call an interspiritual revolution. Mm-hmm. And the difference is that people in this new generation, and I see it everywhere I go, the millennial generation, Generation X, they're not fixed into their religious traditions. They see them simply as schools of thought where they can get to the spirituality, and it's the spirituality, which is the universal connection that makes all of us feel connected. And that is, in that experience at this last parliament, which was in Utah just a month ago, was the overwhelming experience of over 10,000 people. That it's not, so we come together, this experience of love takes us out of our frame of reference. And the way I like to look at it is like, you know, it's like two people looking out of the windows of their house, and they're trying to, and their context of their conversation is always from their vantage point and their view. But what happens when all of a sudden the windows disappear and so does the house, and you find yourself together in one open space? And that's exactly what I see happening.
Beautiful. I've got a lot of 14-year-old, 15-year-olds around me, and it's amazing their perspective. They're curious, and they are excited about these ideas, but the theme I see across the board is that they just want to understand the concepts, and they're looking for the connections. They're looking for the similarities, and their questions are on a very big, big scale. They're not concerned about the details and the small differences. They're concerned about the larger connections, which is just beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I see. So it's about the direct personal experience, and that's the difference between religion and spirituality. You know, my spiritual teacher said, it's good to be born in a religion, but don't die in one. That could be misinterpreted, but what he meant by was everybody starts in one school of thought, but the idea is to graduate to universalism, to graduate to the universal vision. That's the goal, and not to get stuck in a particular school of thought. We need to graduate. That's the goal, which is this universal consciousness of oneness and love. That's the goal.
Indeed. And I just will bring it back to meditation. That is where we move inside, and we realize that as we talk to others who have meditated, that their experience is the same. It's a bit like saying, you know, our all blood runs the same underneath our skin. No matter who we are, that experience of getting in touch with our innermost, of approaching the world with a gentleness, with a sense of awe, with inspiration, with a sense of wonder, and all that comes with it, that experience is the same. It's universal. And so meditation connects us in that experience, and we realize that to move inside and to realize the light that we are is ultimately connecting us and moving us towards our heart and that which is love. It's really wonderful. So we are going to go to a break once more. And when we come back, I would love to talk about the master, the guide. You use the term the lover and the beloved quite a bit in the book. So when we come back, a little more on that, on the living master and the guide, as soon as we get back with Andrew Vidic.
How to achieve wellness in all areas of your life? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Signs of wellness are a capacity to love and ability to nurture, a sense of purpose, a good sense of humor and plenty of fun in your life, a concern for others and a respect for the environment, a conscious commitment to personal excellence, a sense of balance and integrated lifestyle, and capacity to cope with whatever life presents. Well, people enjoy their lives and want them to last as long as possible. That's why the wellness mindset usually accompanies other constructive, healthy lifestyle habits. By adopting a wellness mindset and behaviors like eating well, taking the right nutrition for the body, exercising, and saying affirmations are just a few things to structure a healthy system of values and beliefs. I will be your wellness coach to help you achieve a wellness lifestyle. Call us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Do you want the freedom to spend more time with your loved ones? Travel the world? Live spontaneously? Get ready, because the Chip Justice Show is here. Hosts Dr. Pat Basile and Chip Justice can help you build meaningful success while embracing life. Living a life you love is the end game in this new, inspirational, and empowering show. Positive changes for a life you'll love. Tune in every month on TransformationTalkRadio.com and visit PositiveChangeInstitute.co for more information.
Transformation Talk Radio is dedicated to the education and awareness of Lyme disease.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lyme Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Pat, joined here by
Dr. Nusheen Darvish.
Dr. Pat Basile and Dr. Nusheen Darvish will be bringing the most innovative, groundbreaking information, research, treatment innovations, and stories from those it affects every day.
I'm so excited to be talking about this.
We have so much to share.
Dr. Darvish and I are planning to do is connect the dots.
People suffering with all sorts of chronic diseases, it's time. It is time for them to transform.
Tune into Lyme Talk Radio and help keep our mission strong.
For the loyal listeners out there that have been listening to this incredible show on Lyme disease, we are not going to let you down. We're going to come through stronger and enrich the platform for Lyme disease awareness through Lyme Talk Radio. The message will continue. The conversations will become stronger and the healing epic.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Hi, I'm Leslie Fontaine with Sheer Alchemy on Transformation Talk Radio, and here's your tip of the week. When we own our own responsibility, we're choosing to own our choices, our energy, our day, our jobs, our relationships. It's a tall order. And what difference does that make? Well, plenty. We're choosing to look within, to change agreements within ourselves, to keep our energy field clean, and to upgrade as needed to make choices that are authentic to us. This shifts our language. We no longer blame others. We're no longer victims of our circumstances. So if we don't get paid abundantly or loved abundantly, let's look within and ask, where am I not honoring myself? Where am I not loving myself? Let's change the agreement. Let's get real with what's in place, forgive ourselves and others, and shift into our new life. Visit me at LeslieFontaine.com or call me at 678-665-3366. Let this be the last day that you choose to look outwardly and look within.
1230 WBLQ.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. We're talking today with Andrew Vidic.
And just before the break, we were talking about one universal spirituality. Andrew, what was the term that you used? You said you like to use this term?
Interspiritual.
Interspiritual. I like that. Interspiritual. And we've come a long way. We were just talking about this move toward an interspirituality and more of a sort of a universal spirituality that we all have in common. And certainly meditation can take us to that place where we realize, indeed, we all are searching for that light of self. And so I'm wondering, Andrew, if we've come such a long way, are there more mystics around us? Do you feel that in that we've all gotten just that? Are we surrounded by a few more mystics than, say, 400 years ago?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, actually they did a Gallup poll recently, and they actually tallied up people who are actually having out-of-body experiences and experiences of light. And the amazing figure is that there were something like 60 million Americans who have had these kinds of experiences that we would define as mystic. And that is just the ones who have reported it. So what's happening is as people turn their attention inside through meditation, they're going to have the same experience that mystics had 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 20,000 years ago. And those experiences are what are actually changing the globe, that because each person who moves in closer to that experience of love is going to be a beacon, is going to be a force to radiate that power out. So we are definitely moving into a new era of spirituality, which is based on this inner connection to this divine light through meditation. There's absolutely no doubt about it.
You mentioned much in the book about this living master or a guide, and you talk about the relationship between the lover and the beloved. Beloved being God and being that divine, capital D. And so, again, that question of whether we are capable of sort of being these ultimate receptors of the divine messages ourselves, or if we still need a living master or a guide or a teacher. I'm sure it's still quite useful. We've got guides everywhere, and a lot of us are looking for that and searching for that. And so I'm wondering, could you tell our listeners what one might look for in that sort of spiritual guide?
Okay, so just as a general kind of overview. I mean, when we look at spirituality, we realize that all traditions have kind of taught and recommended a spiritual guide. Someone, when we go on any journey, makes sense to take someone who's gone on the journey before, knows what the twists and turns are, knows what the pitfalls are, and can help us avoid them. And so in all different traditions, the need or the recommendation for a guide is there. So how do we recognize them? First of all, the paradox is that we don't find them, they find us, number one. So there is a saying in Hinduism that says the master appears when the disciple is ready. And what that really means is that each of us is in a journey and at different stages in our spiritual development. And when the time comes for the need for inner guidance as we begin the inner journey, then the guides of humanity who are already inside and outside, they manifest to us because they recognize the need, that particular person's need for guidance. So we actually are not finding them, they're finding us. That's the irony of it. However, if we were to look at some outer criteria, some of the criteria are is that, first of all, they walk the talk. The mystic, the spiritual master, is an embodiment of everything he says. If he's not, then it's not a true or authentic master. Now, keeping in mind, we could say there are like three or four categories of master. There's actually more finer degrees, but we have those who are, let's say, outright frauds, and we have those in every line of profession and work and category of roles in the world. Then we have those who are on the way, that achieve some level of insight, some level of realization, and certainly can guide us, can help us up to the level that they have gone. And then there's another category, which I call those who are not only on the way, they are the way. In other words, they have crossed all of the barriers. They've reached that state of the plenitude of all perfection. And those are in a different category all by themselves. And when we talk about people like Jesus, or we talk about some of the great teachers of the world, we're thinking of those category of being. So what are some of the criteria? As I said, they have to walk the talk. Authentic spiritual teachers do not charge. That is a very ancient criteria. Why? Because they are not, there's not a business for them. They are givers, they are not takers. And so, and the third and most important criteria is that they can energetically give us an inner experience. They can actually give us a spiritual boost directly through their own energetic presence. So my spiritual teacher, Master, used to say that spirituality cannot be bought. We know that. It cannot be taught, even though. It can only be caught in the energetic presence of someone who has it. And the same thing is true of love. So we have to trust our gut instinct that something, and actually take the time to visit some of these great spiritual masters and pray directly inside that we be given the right guidance. And that's all we can do, right? And those three outer criteria, I think, help us tremendously in guiding our footsteps, particularly the ethical development. There's a lot of people out there that have simply made spirituality into a business. You know, we have love and respect for everybody, but our goal is to get a competent guidance.
And that's why it's so good to know ourselves, to sort of be able to sort of have a vetting process in a way. You know, we run an educational nonprofit and also a meditative retreat center. And so people are moving through our center all the time, and all of them searching, all of us are looking for answers, but a lot of people really looking for guidance and really looking for answers. And as we see this sort of breakdown of religion, so to speak, and we think of a universe, vague, you know, it's quite simple when you are subscribing certainly to one particular religion, you know exactly where to turn, you know who the leaders, the guides are. But as we become sort of a more of a unified one, spirituality becomes a little, the edges become a little blurry. So it's that much more important for us to know ourselves and to sort of trust that law of attraction, that the right spiritual teacher will come along just in that right time.
Yeah, and also, you know, there can be stages that, you know, in the beginning, we might need some kind of outer guidance, and everyone can be a teacher at some level. But if we continue to persevere, if we continue to really work within our meditations, then guidance will come, definitely will come. And so it's the sincerity of approach that determines the connection that we receive. And so we have to trust that. And there are many, many examples. You know, Yogananda, long before he was initiated, he started having visions of his guru, Sri Yukteswar. And but his meeting with Sri Yukteswar didn't actually happen until many, many years later. But when he did see him, he recognized him immediately because from the visions he had been having inside. Likewise, my own spiritual master didn't meet his physical master till 7 years after, but for seven previous years he saw and was guided inwardly by a beautiful being of light who he didn't even know who it was. So this is what we mean by inner guidance. It's there already. It's a question of what are we doing to pursue it, and the sincerity and the prayers that we have for that inner guidance. It will come, sure and certain.
Beautiful, wonderful, beautiful words, inspiring. And again, what do we bring to our spiritual practice? And so many people these days, though, we see, we've noticed just over the years, people will come to the center and will spend 3 days really just trying to find that spiritual core, that spiritual space, and enjoy themselves within the spiritual space that we've created, but yet to put away that cell phone, to not be tempted to get online, to call home. We are unbelievable. So it's finding time for that spiritual practice. How do we do that? You know, how do we make it so important in our lives? Any tips for that?
Yeah, and I think that's the crux of all of this discussion, comes right down to practical tips. My spiritual master, Sant Kripal Singh, who I mentioned in the book, as well as Sant Darshan Singh, said something very powerful. He said that 1 ounce of practice, meaning meditation, is better than tons of theory. 1 ounce. So focusing in on developing a regular daily practice of meditation is really essence of how we're going to boost ourselves spiritually. And we need to create that regular practice. It's through that regular practice that we will get to deeper levels of meditation, that we will achieve deeper levels of peace, understanding, and ultimately experience the love that is already within us. So I say, what I tell people is, take the meditation challenge. Try to sit every day for 20 minutes a day for about 30 days, 30, 40 days, and that will help create the habit. And once the habit is there, then it's much easier to continue that habit and then deepen it along the way.
Indeed, it is called a practice for a reason. A meditation practice is definitely called a practice. While we're on the subject, if I can just take the time to tell people, we're talking about Love is a Secret with Andrew Vittick, the Mystic Quest for Divine Love. And we keep coming back to meditation. We're talking about the central channel this week, and that is part of Spirit Fire's own practice of living awareness meditation. Listeners, if you'd like to join the practice, it is a free online meditation practice offered by Spirit Fire. Livingawarenessmeditation.net is the blog. You can go to spiritfire.com and sign up for our meditation practice. Totally free, live meditations nearly 365 days a year. And as Andrew Vittick was saying, it's a practice. You've just got to commit yourself to sitting down, making that spiritual journey, even in the form of 20 minutes of meditation every day. If you can do that for some time and just see what happens in your life, see the changes, they will make themselves apparent. We are going to go to a break, and we'll be right back. More with Andrew Vittick after this.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Hi, I'm Tim Darter.
And I'm Steve Kramer.
Join us on Spirit Fire Radio. Discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day.
And watch yourself connect in a whole new way. Find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio.
Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. for your weekly guide to practical mindfulness. And to learn more, visit www.spiritfireradio.com.
Are you ready for a radical shift in your way of being? Are you seeking a more deeply connected and fulfilling life? Awakened Living Radio is a show dedicated to helping you embrace a life filled with profound peace, connection, and happiness. TJ Woodward is passionate about helping you find your clarity, balance, and purpose. Join co-host TJ Woodward and Dr. Pat Basile on the first Monday of every month at 11 a.m. Pacific Time for Awakened Living Radio on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Enlightening, humorous, and compassionate. Listen live to The Kelly Ballard Show, insight and inspiration from the great beyond. Kelly is a fourth-generation medium and intuitive who covers topics ranging from grief, spirit guides, and listening to your intuition. Kelly can help you get answers and guidance from the other side with a little bit of humor and a lot of healing. Tune in to The Kelly Ballard Show, Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time here on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ever consumed with the idea that something needs to change? You hear Oprah and other inspiring people talk about living your authentic life, and yet it's much easier said than done. Duda, the kick-ass muse, has crafted a world-renowned coaching platform that will help you get clarity on the issues you face, take bold risks, get back your confidence, and brave your fears. To learn more and work with Duda today, visit kickassmuse.com.
1230 WBLQ.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. We are joined today by Andrew Vidic, who's the author of Love is a Secret, The Mystic Quest for Divine Love. It's celebrating its 25th anniversary edition. And it's been a wonderfully just really beautiful conversation. I'd love to read just a quote from the book. And this is a beautiful poem, just a few lines. O Lord of the universe, I will sing thee a sound. Where can't thee be found? And where can't thou not be found? That's just a few stanzas from a mystical poem. And where can't thou not be found? So that is the spiritual experience. Where can that spiritual experience not be found? And so, Andrew, this experience, could you tell us, what's the ultimate goal of achieving this spiritual experience? Like, in your own words, what is that bringing us?
Well, okay, so the ultimate purpose for which humans are on this planet is to complete the evolutionary journey of consciousness. And that is why we're here. That's why the planet is created. That's why humans were created. And that evolutionary journey is the journey of consciousness that began we don't know how many billions of years ago, and started in complete unconsciousness, maybe as a rock, as a mineral, and progressing all the way up to the human. So the completion of this journey is the realization that we are love, that we are, and that love is actually another name for God, and it's another name for absolute consciousness. So our journey through meditation is to realize and to completely embody all of the characteristics and the qualities of that ineffable and infinite love.
And ultimately, even to be able to recognize that all around us, I would say, in where can't thou not be found? If we can find that divine expression in a rock, in a plant, in the animal kingdom, and all throughout the human kingdom, then we're really cooking with gas, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a state of awareness in which we actually see that love manifested everywhere and in everything. It's the same consciousness, it's the same power, it's the same light that is manifesting everywhere, so we see it everywhere. In fact, if it was not here, if it was not present, the whole universe would dissolve, because it is love which is the basis and is the support of the whole universe. Getting our eyes open enough to see that and experience is what the journey is all about. My teacher has said, love beautifies the world, love beautifies everything, and the world of love is always beautiful. And by that, they meant that in that state of love, in that state of God consciousness, if you will, we see everything as a manifestation. Every spark of life, every fiery star, every sparkling wave, every atom of existence is nothing other than a manifestation of that truth.
Indeed. And if we can even look around at these times, if we can find the beauty in that, you know, if we can find the love in our who may trespass against us. And it seems like nowadays we're really being called more so than ever, or perhaps it's just the fact that we're in the middle of it and we see it that way. But it does seem to be coming up and really, really quite clear. This summer, the horrible tragedy that happened in Charleston, and we saw those who were related to the victims really practicing forgiveness, practicing compassion, and the effects that that had on everyone around us were just palpable. I was actually in South Carolina when that happened, and have been going to South Carolina my whole life. And, you know, I saw a change in consciousness. I think if 25 years ago that had happened, some of the sort of talk or the speak I would have heard after that situation would have been quite different 25 years ago. We have come a long way, and that expression of forgiveness, that expression of compassion, that moving toward the inner heart and that interconnectedness of us all, and seeing how do we get around this, how do we move forward, at the end of the day, it's love, and it's the idea that no matter who you are, we are all connected We are all an expression of the divine. And until we recognize that in each other, we are going to be stuck in the same old patterns.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the whole journey is a journey from unconsciousness to consciousness. And the characteristics of consciousness are unlimited compassion and forgiveness. And so as we move closer to the core of our very being, those characteristics automatically start to manifest. And those are the characteristics we see in the great saints and the great mystics. We see that unlimited forgiveness. We see that constant, ever-living compassion. And so each of us who begin this journey and go within and connect to that source are going to be little manifestations and gradually greater and greater manifestations of that. And it's that power of love that will transform the world. We cannot do it through hate. We cannot do it through the judging mind and by judging others and condemning others. You're absolutely right. The only way it's going to transform is when each of us become an ambassador of love, become an ambassador of truth, that we can transform this world.
You divide a lot of the, or you go through each stage and each step, and it's called the valley. And I'm just curious if the valley, is that the going within? Or is that is the going to the depths so that we may arise up out of the depths? I'm just curious if you could talk to us a bit about the valley.
Well, I use the term valley as simply a metaphor on a journey that as you cross one mountain, you enter into another valley, and you cross another mountain, you enter another valley, and so that there's a kind of a divide in the experience of the mystic. And so it's kind of one example of a stage, for example, which you have already mentioned, is a stage when we stop blaming, stop criticizing, we stop complaining, and we start forgiving and start understanding. So that, in a very simple emotional way, is a big change in consciousness from blame, critique, and hate. So we just use the term valley to explain the shift in awareness out of that old state of awareness into a new state of consciousness. That's how I'm using it, more as a metaphorical term rather than a kind of literal experience. If you really look at the states, they merge into one another, and sometimes even the traveler, i.e. the mystic, is not even aware himself until retroactively looking back, seeing the changes in the consciousness. But then looking back, it becomes very apparent. So it's like a teenager looking back when he was 5 years old or 10 years old, and then seeing the tremendous changes in his own behavior.
Indeed, and the vistas are beautiful, and the valley deep sometimes, indeed. Well, we've had such a really wonderful conversation about this inner quest for love, for divine love that exists within all of us. It's been a real pleasure talking to you. I hope everybody will take a look at Andrew Vidic's Love is a Secret. It's celebrating its 25th anniversary, as we've said. Andrew, it's been a real pleasure to have you with us. And I so appreciate you talking to us about the importance of spirituality in our everyday lives, going within and just trying to find that innermost sense of self that is the bridge to love and connects us to one another. And we thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, it's been a tremendous pleasure for me and a tremendous joy. And whenever we can talk about these things and spread the knowledge and the understanding that it's available, this love, this experience of divine love or unconditional love is available to each and every one of us if we approach it with humility and with grace.
Beautifully said, indeed. Well, we thank you for joining us on Spirit Fire Radio. If you'd like to look at or listen to some past recordings or join us next week, just go to spiritfireradio.com.
Thank you, and we'll see you again next week on Spirit Fire Radio.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern, for your weekly guide to meditation and living with awareness. Join hosts Tim Darter and Steve Kramer and discover the ways that consciousness is being cultivated in everyday life. Connect to your day in a whole new way and find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more about Spirit Fire, visit spiritfireradio.com.